to another episode of the Black Impact. I'm TJ, your host, and I have a lovely guest with me here by the name of Lex. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today's topic, we're going to get into how important it is to heal your trauma. Okay, so let's get into it, Lex. I feel like when it comes to your trauma, like if you don't heal what hurt you, then your trauma basically will bleed onto people who haven't done anything to you.
Right, for sure. And also dealing with people who still have not overcome their childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So you could still hold on to that childhood trauma plus what you have grown up or as an adult. So.
Right.
And that can also portray other people as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when we talk about trauma, I feel like people let trauma define them as a person. And I don't think trauma is supposed to define you. Trauma is basically, you know, something that we went through that we're trying to basically heal from. I feel like trauma is basically the point, the importance of healing your trauma is basically trying to, not saying that your trauma is ever going to go away, right? But it's basically you recognizing what
you've been through and you navigating through different ways to better yourself to handle other situations that trigger you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, oh, I just need to, trauma never goes away.
Right.
You just have to figure out how to get past certain things to move forward. But I think it starts with you sitting down with yourself and actually wanting to tear down those, you know, walls to, you know, become better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily think that you have to, well, that is what trauma is, basically you going through something. Yeah, that's what I think. What do you think?
My take on healing your own trauma is to heal your next generation. So I feel like people are always thinking about generational wealth, but generational healing is also a big thing too, where healing yourself then comes to healing the next generation, your future children, or even the way that you treat your nieces, nephews, or whatever.
When you talk about healing generational, generational curses or whatever, right?
Yeah, that how do you... too. So, how can I put this?
How do you think we can do that?
By loving more.
Mm-hmm.
Showing more appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And just being more positive.
Being more positive.
Mm-hmm.
Talking
100%,
more.
100%, I feel like loving yourself, it just automatically, like, portrays out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a feeling. So, when you're healed,
but are
your
we really
aura is so vibrant.
Yeah. And it shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, like, we'll all be healed. I think we're all in a progress of healing, because I don't think no one ever fully heals from what they have been through.
No, yeah, that's for sure. I can agree with that, because you're still always going to hold on to certain things. Like, for me, for example, I feel like I've come a long way of loving myself and healing in the process, confronting uncomfortable conversations with family members,
mm-hmm.
With my parents, siblings, but still childhood trauma, I still deal with childhood trauma, and it still shows and affects in my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would more so say to men.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so you still hold on to some, some of that hurt.
Right.
And you can go to therapy as much as you can and try and heal. But I don't know. Like you say, I still feel like it still affects you in a way.
Yeah. Because it doesn't go away. It's just choosing. You're just choosing to handle certain situations a different way. You know, you don't really respond. You're like, oh, I've been through that. So, you know, I don't have to respond to that this type of way. Yeah. So what type of steps what have you done to, like, heal yourself besides therapy? Have you been to therapy too?
I have. Okay. I started therapy since I was, like, in elementary school.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's good, because a lot of people don't go to therapy as a kid.
Well, I had no choice. I had to go. I had to go. So, yeah, that, but honestly, I feel like during that time, since I was still a kid, I didn't really know what it was.
You just thought you were just talking to a stranger?
Right, and I also felt like they weren't really understanding my situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, well, I don't know, I feel like that really didn't help.
What made you feel like... Oh, that's good that you say that. What made you feel like they didn't understand your situation?
Because I was still depressed. Still hurt, depressed, crying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But mind you, I feel like it kind of hit me more when I got to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was so frustrated with the system and the school system. Like, how are they saying that they're going to help these children mm-hmm. by doing counseling? How are they saying that they're gonna help the kids when, I don't know, I just feel like they weren't really getting me. So
if you mind me asking, then, what was the reason you were in therapy for?
Yeah.
Wait, do you mind?
No, I don't care.
Okay.
It's just like, I feel like every time I talk about this situation, it's just such a like a awkward way to say it out loud.
Okay.
But
that's why we're here, right?
I know. But it's like when you say it all out, it's like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Realizing it.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, so when I was a kid, I was traumatized.
Okay.
Or I guess I can say the word. See, and this is what I'm saying, like, certain words is a little bit triggering.
For you, yeah.
Yeah, well, not necessarily triggering, but it's just uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so as a child, I was molested by a family member.
Okay. So you see how, like, you laugh things off.
That, I have a really big issue with laughing when there's uncomfortable mm-hmm. conversations, 100%.
I mean, and I get that because I do the same thing sometimes. But I feel like in the Black community, like, we have to, you know, that's really serious.
Yeah.
And we tend to laugh things off when it's really serious. That's a serious thing to you know, other people might take that as a, you're not being serious,
right.
You know, or anything. You know how other people just make up certain things. But that is a trauma mechanism in our body. Something triggers us in our body to say, oh, I'm uncomfortable. And the only way I feel safe is if I laugh this off.
Right.
And not saying that that's a bad thing, but you're so uncomfortable and you don't feel free to the point where you're saying it because someone or some, you know, the society has made it to the point where saying that it's like, oh, I gotta hide, you know, like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, I don't know how to, I'm still working through that, and you're probably still working through how to, you know, say that without feeling so nervous.
Right.
And able to, that's the you thing. Know, talk about it.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of times when I say that word,
mm-hmm.
people look at you like, what? And, you know, actually, okay, This is probably what it stems from, because growing up, when I told my parents or mm-hmm. when my family found out, everybody's in disbelief. They don't believe you. They think you're lying. Yep. So that's probably why I feel like when I say that word, you're going to be like, bitch, what?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's where that stems from.
How did that make you feel when they didn't even believe you?
Oh, I was hurt.
Yeah.
I was hurt. And then, yeah, especially certain different occasions where you need your parents the most and they're not there for you. Mm-hmm. So growing up, like, I isolated myself. I was always by myself. And that's why as I'm getting older now, like, when I was a child, I isolated myself, so I wasn't really close to my siblings, my parents, nobody. I was by myself. I'll always stay home or I'll be outside.
Right. I mean, why would you? I wouldn't want to be
outside in the streets. But
I wouldn't want to be around anyone.
Yeah, after, and you know, especially like when something like that happens in your own home.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, it was a crazy time, but that's why now, as I've gotten older, I've been trying to mend my relationships with my siblings, with my parents, with mm-hmm. my mom especially.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, I've been learning to forgive, for sure. Mm-hmm. And that's on my own healing part.
Right.
Not necessarily for anybody else. But if that's what's going to make me move forward
right.
and be happy with myself, that's what I'm going to do. So I like having uncomfortable conversations,
mm-hmm.
even though sometimes they can be triggering, but we need to have these conversations.
Yeah, I feel like when we have uncomfortable conversation, it just makes, it's growth.
Exactly, you know? Right.
We're, you know,
that's the only way to proceed.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of people are not willing to get into that because it's so much hurt behind that pain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I do appreciate you coming out and saying that. I do want to touch back on when you were saying that when you went to therapy that you felt like it wasn't working for you, and you, because you were still depressed. And I wanted to know, they say that therapy, when you go to therapy, it's supposed to work, right? But I don't necessarily think that just because you go to therapy that you're healing your trauma. You have to actually
be present, taking the tools from the therapist that they're giving you, and also doing those exercises that the therapists are giving you when it comes to your trauma. But back to you saying that you were still depressed. Why did you feel like you were like still depressed even going to therapy?
Well, I feel like I didn't really know the steps to healing myself, I guess, or I don't want to say comforting my emotions, but dealing with my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Not until I got to an adult and started tapping into my spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
That was my real therapy. Tapping into God, my spirituality. That was my therapy. That was my way of
mm-hmm.
getting myself back together, finding myself, loving myself. Because spirituality really is about self-development, self-growth, mm-hmm. self-improvement. So I started doing the work. That's why I'm drinking my tea, fixing up what I'm putting in my body, putting on my body.
That's amazing.
So yeah, and then this is what I mean by healing. Once you do that to yourself, that's leading on to your next generation.
Yeah.
Even though some of your other family members don't do it
or right.
aren't aware of it,
mm-hmm.
This is still going to be my lineage that's coming out of my body, my flesh.
Yeah. So do you think...
If I have kids.
How old were you when that happened to you?
I was like 8 years old.
8 years old. 8 years old when something traumatic like that happened to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you were going to therapy, you was just basically talking to a stranger. So
right.
honestly, an 8 year old, that probably they
don't know nothing,
right? They wouldn't help them. Right. Because I'm talking to a totally stranger. I don't even know what happened to me. I don't even know who you are. I don't feel comfortable because something terrible just happened to me. So I don't want to talk. My mind is shut off. Right. So, of course, you are still, you know, depressed and still trying to navigate through life. And you were trying to understand what happened to you. Mm-hmm. And then you also didn't have your parents to help you and save you from that situation because they didn't even want to acknowledge what just happened to their baby. Mm-hmm. You know, they were in denial about that, but they wasn't. And I'm sorry that you had to go through that. And I'm sorry that your parents wasn't, you know, there to basically be your hero, right, because they were supposed to save you, but they retreated back and laughed it off like it wasn't, you know, they couldn't believe it. But I'm sorry that you really had to go through that, because
that's
not fair to any 8-year-old girl, anyone.
Right. Yep, that's why I'm very big on protecting the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because the children are sacred. But then again, I do kind of, I'm not going to say feel for them, mm-hmm, but see the other side, because you don't expect your family member to do something like that. Like, right, who expects
their family, right?
So, but then again, I feel like if your child comes at you saying something,
mm-hmm,
you know, at least have the, I'm not going to say decency, but at least hear them out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was my biggest thing, especially repeating it over and over and over.
Oh, you were vocally telling them that. And
right, and then bringing the whole family together, having like a huge family meeting. How do you still not believe
it?
Wow. So, yeah.
They were so in denial and blind by.
Yeah. Then again, I look at it like they grew up in a different time.
Mm. I mean, I feel like we give too many people grace when it comes
to
certain things.
But it's true. I mean,
yeah, it's true, but.
They don't know no better.
Why you say that? No. Oh, come on now. No, they knew.
At least my grandpa. They know. No, they know for sure. But they don't know how to deal with it. Maybe that's,
I can understand that they don't know how to deal with the situation. But to completely ignore it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what?
No, that's wrong. Yes, they're wrong.
Completely ignore it? Yeah, say I don't know how to handle the situation, but don't, you know, put my feelings aside and laugh me out, or ignore me, or, you know, like, what?
Yeah.
We do give people a lot of grace when they hurt us.
That's true.
A lot. And I want to know, why do we give people so much grace when they know that they have done us wrong? Because they have a motive. Mm-hmm. And if they haven't, I feel like when people say, oh, I didn't mean to do that, then what you mean to do?
Right.
What did you mean to do? You knew what you was doing. You're thinking about something before you do it. So you sure? Right. Like, I think we need to really think about what we allow people to do to us, and how we try to save the person who hurt us the most.
Right.
And I don't know how to, well, I know on my end how to stop that, but from other people, it's easier said than done. Don't do that, or, you know, whatever. But
setting boundaries
with people.
That's what I've been learning. Setting boundaries with people and realizing my worth and how hard I've worked on myself. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve my time. Right. You don't deserve, like, nothing more than what you're given, period. I don't know. I'm really, and tell me what you think about this. So, giving people more than what they're giving.
Giving people more attention?
Energy. Or is that a little bit childish? Like, if you're not giving me a certain amount of energy, then why should I?
No, that's not childish. You have set a boundary for yourself.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. So yeah, is I'm not gonna feed into your energy. I'm gonna I'm treating you like, you know, you're treating me.
Right. So then, when it comes to your family and your parents especially, drawing that line and setting boundaries with them was really hard for me because I love my parents. I really do. But if they're not willing to heal themselves, like, I have to take a couple steps back from that, but still love them from a distance.
I completely agree with you on that. Like, I completely agree with you. I have put up boundaries when it comes to my family members. So I understand. We're going to do the same thing. And I think establishing boundaries is a good thing to help yourself move forward, because when it comes to your family, we value their opinion a lot. And we tend to do certain things that our family wants us to do. Right. And that's how they you know, mold us to the person that we are. But sometimes you have to take a step back. We have to take a step back and, you know, love on ourselves more and love on ourselves more and set those boundaries for ourselves so we can progress in the world and we don't hold on to certain things. Actually, putting up them boundaries are good for them because it makes us not hate them. It makes us, it makes us not hate them. It makes us, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, and not even just like with my parents necessarily, but, you know, with family, family in general. Yeah.
Also with other people, you know.
Right, other people as well.
But it depends on when it comes to like other people, like when they, some people, when they do certain things to you, it's done, you know, you got to cut them up, cut them off. Right. But family is different. Like, it's like, some people can cut their family off and never talk to them again, right? But some people, it's like, this is my family. This is my family. Like, I can't cut my family off. Like, but, you know, just, we're not saying to cut your family off. Take a step back and consider yourself first. Loving yourself more, you know, pour into yourself to be better. And that's what, you know, self-healing is about. You're not going to be completely healed from your situation. Never, but you're choosing yourself to move forward. It's an it's emotions, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're always going to be angry and depressed. Well, not always, but you're always going to develop those type of emotions. But healing yourself is just choosing a better way to handle those emotions. So yes, therapy is not always good for everyone. Like she said, she was going to therapy since she was 8 years old and she was still depressed. And because of that, I'm not exactly sure like what a therapist is going to do for an 8 year old, but they always say when something traumatic happens to a child, oh, put them in therapy. But that therapist is not really reaching out to your child the way that you need to teach. You need to reach out to your child. Like, you need, instead of putting them in therapy, you need to talk to your child more. You need to be engaged with your child more. Instead of throwing them into therapy, you're basically throwing them to a stranger. And they have to talk about uncomfortable situations that they didn't even want to talk about. But I think that we need to start parenting more and start listening more and don't just shut your, you know, your kid out. Listen to what they're saying. If they come into you and they're saying certain things that are bothering them, don't just shy them away. Listen to them, because you wouldn't want someone to do that to you. So it's all about breaking these generational curses, being there for people, loving people more, loving yourself more. So what does your healing journey look like today? She just want to laugh.
Today, my healing journey, I have been journaling more, writing down what I'm thinking, writing down my goals, manifesting, putting in the work, changing my diet, because I am a huge believer on you are what you eat.
She got to
And
put some shame in me.
shut up. No, it's true though. Like, I don't want to, especially picking out certain, like, for example, eggs, how the chickens are being raised, where are these fruits coming from? But yeah, so you are what you eat. So I'm being very specific on what I'm putting in my body, what I'm putting on top of my body, meaning like lotions, shampoos, and stuff like that. And what I'm putting in my body too. So not nobody has access to me. But
Period.
yeah. That's been my healing journey, at least right now in this moment. But it took a lot of self-learning and self-discipline too. And really talking to myself and telling myself, you gotta do this. You gotta really change your habits, or else it's never gonna happen. It's never gonna get done. Nobody's coming to save you. So you really gotta do the work yourself. And just
My,
taking control of my life.
yeah. So, my healing journey, I'm like 70, I'm 60%, right? Because
60% what?
I'm
Healed?
like, no, not, I'm not healed, no. Like 60% progress, like and
Okay.
like my healing journey. But I feel like my toughest thing when it comes to like my healing journey is learning about obedience and discipline. I am working on that, and I feel like that is like the challenges, I feel like that is the most challenging thing that I have, like obedience when it comes to what I put in my body, and discipline.
So, like, once I'm there, okay, we doing something.
Honestly, and I feel like it really bothers me when people say, okay, I'm gonna do it Monday. You gotta start now.
Yeah, that's true. You do gotta
Like,
start now.
it's like, forget
Yeah.
everything that's going on in your
Because if you
head and
keep
just do it.
saying you want to start tomorrow, and then it just keeps, you keep like, delaying it
Yeah.
even more.
And also doing a parasite cleanse too. That has helped me so much. It's so crazy. I've been going hard on my juicing and my herbs. And okay, I'm gonna share something. It's gonna be a little TMI.
That's fine.
So as I'm using the bathroom, I got a picture of it too. Where's my
Oh, I
phone?
don't think we want any pictures.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm an open book. So yeah, so as I'm using the bathroom, just doing number one. Next thing you know, I push like I'm gonna do number two.
And a parasite comes
Parasite
out.
comes out. I kid you not, I'm not even joking.
Oh
I know Kayla wants to see it. I'm showing it to you. But yeah, so I don't know. It made me feel so good and so clean. Cause like when your body is telling you need sugar or you want this piece of cake or this piece of
Yeah.
bread, that's the parasites talking.
Maybe I got a
So
parasite.
you for sure do.
Do
Everybody does.
you?
Everybody does. Even like if you don't clean your fruit properly or your vegetables properly, but you have parasites in you. If you eat raw foods, if you eat deli meat, pork, I don't do pork at all, but everything has parasites. You have good bacteria, good parasites and bad. Well, I ain't gonna say good parasites, but good bacteria and bad bacteria. So I've just been doing a lot of
Do you
research.
know what type of cleanse did you do to get rid of your parasites?
Beets and
Beets?
berries.
Beets and berries?
Beets and
I thought you were
berries.
gonna tell me you got something off of like Amazon or
Oh
something like
no.
that.
That's what I'm
You
saying. Like I've
did an
been
organic cleanse.
right. So this is all coming along with changing my diet too.
Yeah.
Sticking to my alkaline foods. So doing my green juice daily, beet juice, I wanna say every other day. And then I'll throw in my vitamin C's. My mango, girl, I got a whole concoction
And
of
this is just
stuff.
helping you along your healing journey. It's just,
yes, it's clearing my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm not being foggy anymore.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You have to clean out all the mucus in your body. Mm-hmm. Like, even when I did my, so I did a MRI mm-hmm. for my head, and it's so crazy because you can see all the buildup on this side.
Oh,
and this
really?
Is where I was having all the headaches. I'm not even joking to you. This was going on for years where really? I was having headaches every day.
Wow.
All day long. It would not go away. I would try to sleep. I would try everything and it would not work.
And it all comes from our food.
It does. Yes.
Healing from your food.
So as I've been changing my diet, well, I want to go get another skin MRI. To see if it's gone. Mm-hmm. But man, that was crazy to see all that tissue
that.
There.
Yeah.
But I'm good now. Yeah, so that is, and eating clean too just makes me feel happy. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel good.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so it's definitely a process.
It
takes
a
lot of self-discipline.
Everything
but
takes
mind
a process.
Over matter for sure. And also another part of my healing journey is I've been asking my family, or I guess asking questions that were still a mystery to me mm-hmm. in my life. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. When you say you're 60%, I really feel like I'm pretty close. Mm-hmm. And I know you say not to be healed, but I feel like I'm good.
You feel like you?
Is I've been asking my family, or I guess asking questions that were still a mystery to me mm-hmm. in my life. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. When you say you're 60%, I really feel like I'm pretty close. Mm-hmm. And I know you say not to be healed, but I feel like I'm good.
You feel like you healed?
Yeah.
You
not necessarily like healed, but I feel like I've answered everything that I could possibly answer. Yes, I still have things that I'm still dealing with. Mm-hmm. And especially, like, with relationships,
right.
romantic relationships, I would say. But I don't know, I feel like, me personally, what you see is what you get. I'm a very loving person. I am just very generous. And I can't help it. I really cannot help it. And sometimes I can be a little too giving, and especially with my time and my energy. So I've been trying to push back. And mm-hmm. this is what I'm saying, like, setting
boundaries.
Up. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, but I feel really happy. And I feel like that was my ultimate goal, and I prayed for this. I said, God, I want to be happy. And I may not have everything that I want right now, but
right.
I'm happy, and I feel really good. I feel good inside. I feel good outside. My skin is glowing now. Girl, I used to have really bad
skin.
Really bad skin. It's still, I still have little marks, but mm-hmm. I'm looking good now. I feel good.
That is so wonderful.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Yep, so that is my
So, do you still go to therapy? Mm-hmm. Or you feel like, what's your take on therapy? Do you feel like, I know you've said in the past, like, you went, but do you feel like going back to therapy that you think that will help you?
Yes, if I feel like it's the right person. Honestly, I feel like therapy is having a conversation with someone and having a different perspective, especially more of a medical perspective. Mm-hmm. But me personally, I've been really big on holistic healing.
Okay.
My holistic practices. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against therapy at all. Mm-hmm. If that's what works for you, that works for you. And I have considered it even now. And I would go to therapy. I'm not canceling therapy just because it didn't go right for me as a child, but
right.
I was a child then, and I'm an adult. I know now if I don't feel comfortable with this certain therapist,
yeah.
you know, that's going to be done with,
right.
and I can always move on, find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't hurt to try.
Right.
So
it's always about pushing through. If something doesn't work for you, it doesn't completely mean that you just stop and give up. You just got to keep moving, keep pushing, and find whatever that motivates you to keep going, to get that that drive. Because we're all healing. But healing is very important to get through life. So I just recommend everybody to just keep pushing and just keep moving. Don't stop. Oh, thank you guys so much for tuning into the Black Empath. I'm TJ, your host, and it's my lovely guest,
Alexis,
here with me. I really appreciate you coming on and telling your story today. Thank you so much. I'm pretty sure a lot of people can relate to you on here. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment, share. And we'll see you in the next episode. The Black Empath, you guys. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Wait, can I want to, I guess, give a message to the younger girls.
Okay.
Where don't be afraid to speak up. Yes. And if wherever you're going is not working out for you, you can go and speak to somebody else. And just really going out and doing some research and gravitating to other resources. There are resources.
But still, don't be afraid
to talk about certain things like that. And especially when it's conversations like that, because it's not easy talking about it, and you're not alone. I'm pretty sure it's a lot of people on this earth that has been through this. So yeah, find a light at the end of the tunnel. Everybody goes through their different healing path with that, and although it was a dark time, I am grateful that my life journey was the way that it was for me to be who I am today. So yeah, it's made me a very stronger person, and I still look at life in a positive way. So that's my take. Spread more love, love more.
Period.
Yes.
All right, guys, thank you so much. Yay!